Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Prospering Souls broadcast. I am your host, Elder Denise Bryson of Denise Bryson Ministries.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Truly we give honor and thanks to the Lord for being on the broadcast today. Praise the Lord, Sister Anderson. We're so thankful. We've been off for a while because I've been working on my studio, and so I was supposed to be in there today, and but the young man was unable to get here to finish it up. So anyway, we'll get to do that on next week, so I'm excited about that. So I've been working on some stuff, and so I'm excited about all those things. And so I said, Lord, I got to get back on here so I can finish up with commitment. And so anyway, I am on the end of commitment. I'm so thankful for that, and I'm glad that God has blessed us just to, just to do what he's told us to do. I'm working on myself as far as my presentation of things, so I'm going to try to go a little slower than what I usually do. And so that's what I am endeavoring to do, is to begin to, do better at my presentation. You know, I've had some conversations with some people about different things, and so I'm excited about all of that. So anyway, so people are trying to help me to do better. So I got my little room together up front, so we're going to be working in there from starting next week. So I'm excited about that. Nevertheless, we are still doing what God has told us to do. So thankful just to be, a child of God, just to be what God is there. Praise the Lord, Gary. We're so thankful for that. God is so merciful, and he is so kind, and so I'm just so thankful. Anyway, we're going to be talking. I'm trying to finish it up. The Lord gave me something to talk about as far as commitment is concerned, and we are wrapping it up. This is probably, I'm hoping to get through it all today, but I don't know. But anyway, if not, we will wrap it up next week, and so this is, we'll just continue on. I'm not sure if I'll get through this whole process, because it looks like I got a lot wrote down. So anyway, we'll see how this is going to go. But anyway, but God is so amazing. So let's just start out with prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, praise the Lord for all of those that are coming in. Praise the Lord, Elder Sarah. And thank God for Marquise Buchanan. Thank God for you. I thank God for each and every one of you that are joining me here live on Facebook. I'm so thankful for it. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you today. We thank you for your mercy and for your grace. We thank you for your loving kindness. God, we thank you that you are the sovereign God. We thank you that you are omnipotent, omnipresent, omniscient, and that you are everything. We thank you that you are shepherd and we shall not want. We thank you that you are our light and our salvation. Whom shall we fear? We thank you, Lord, that you are our refuge and our strength. You are our dwelling place and our very present help in the time of trouble. We thank you, Lord, how you have covered and kept us throughout this pandemic, oh God, and you have kept us safe, oh Lord. Let no harm come nigh our dwelling. Lord, we thank you. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you have been so merciful to us and so gracious to us, and we're so grateful for that. Lord, I thank you, Lord. I told myself I'm going to have a thankful heart and a grateful heart, because that's what I want. God deserves my thankfulness. He deserves my gratefulness, because he has been awesome. He has been a keeper. He has been our protection. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for keeping us from all hurt, harm, and danger. We thank you for allowing your angels to camp around about us. Lord, we thank you. Lord, we thank you for being our meeting every need that we have, God. We thank you. We thank you, Lord Jesus, how you have been you have supplied and you provided for us, God. We thank you. So, Lord, we glorify you and we magnify your holy name, because you are worthy of all glory and all honor and all praise. You are worthy for us to take time to worship you. You are worthy for us to take time to give you praise. You are worthy, Lord. We thank you. We come against disappointment. We come against worry. We come against frustration in the name of Jesus in the lives of your people, God, and we pray peace over the lives of your people, Father. Oh, God, in the name of Jesus, let them have a peace which surpasses all understanding. Lord, let them keep their minds on you so that they can be in perfect peace, Father, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that this is a peace that you give and not the world, oh God, so the world can't take it away. When we come into that place of peace, we are just in peace, and we thank you for it, Lord. We glorify and we magnify your holy name because you are so worthy. God, we ask you, Lord Jesus, to bless all of those, Lord Jesus, that are having challenges, Lord, in their mind and in their emotions, oh God, and even in their physical bodies. Lord, we ask you, Lord, for healing today, healing in their mind, healing in their emotions, healing in their physical body, God. And we're asking you, Lord Jesus, that you said healing is the children's bread. So, Lord, we thank you. Let them eat the bread of healing, God. Lord, we ask you, Lord Jesus, to bless them, Lord Jesus, and let your healing virtue flow through their bodies right now in the name of Jesus and bring forth healing, oh God, as never before, as only you can, oh God. The doctors might be shaking their head, but, Lord, you are never shaking your head at anything, God. You are in control, oh God, and so we thank you. So, Lord, we thank you for healing of the bodies of people, oh God, those that are sick in their bodies. Lord, we ask you, Lord, to bless those that have been stricken with COVID-19, oh God, but, Lord, you're able to heal and deliver. This thing is not too hard for you. This thing is not too hard for you, but, God, we know that you're able to deliver. So, Lord, we thank you for all those that are recovering. Lord, I know friends that are recovering, and I'm so thankful for it, Lord. I glorify you, and I magnify your name because of that, God. And, Lord, we ask you, Lord, some have lost jobs, and we may not be working right now, but, God, I know for myself that you are a sustainer. I know for myself that you are a keeper, and I know for myself that you will keep making a way out of no way. Lord, I'm not talking about telling about what somebody else's testimony, but I'm telling it from my testimony. God, you are able. So, Lord, let the people hold on, Lord Jesus. They may not know how it's going to come and know where it's coming from. But, Lord, I believe just like you sent them down to the river and they went into the fish's mouth and got the money to pay the taxes, oh, God, I believe you can have that kind of miracle on our behalf. Lord, I thank you, Lord Jesus, that you said you are our provider, God. You are our provider, so you are our provision, Lord Jesus. If we put it in your hands, God, it is provided for. Lord, I thank you, Lord, that we are trusting in the Lord with all our heart and we are leaning not to our own understanding, but we are acknowledging you in all our ways. And, Lord, you said you would direct our path. Lord, open up doors where doors need to be opened. Shut doors where doors need to be shut. God, somebody's got interviews this week. Somebody's got jobs that they're applying for. Lord, open up the door for the people, Lord, that they can have what they need to provide for their families and to provide for their households, oh, God. And we'll be mindful to give you the glory and the praise. We'll be mindful to pay our tithes and our offering, oh, God, because we're just so thankful, oh, God, for what you have done. Lord, I bless you. You said you would give seed to the sower, God, so we thank you, Lord Jesus. Ha, glory to God, Lord, for the seed that you will give us to sow. Lord, you said you would cause men to give back unto us, pressed down, shaking together, and running over. So, Lord, we thank you for those things, oh, God. Lord, we ask you, Lord Jesus, to comfort those that need comfort, oh, God, those that need peace, those that have lost loved ones, Father, in the name of Jesus. And, Lord, we know that only you can bring comfort and peace to them, oh, God. Lord, we try to have something to say, but, Lord, nothing comforts people in the loss of their loved ones as you can. I know that for myself. So, Lord, I thank you, Lord, that you are comforting in them and bringing them peace, God, in the name of Jesus. Oh, God, we ask you, Lord Jesus, to bless this week, oh, God, that people will go in peace. People will go in faith, oh, God. Let us faith. Let faith be our response to things, God, in the name of Jesus, and not negativity. We rebuke negative thoughts. We rebuke negative actions, God, but we speak positive faith and faith over our lives, God, and our hope is still in thee, oh, God. And you said, blessed is the man that hopes in thee. So, Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you're blessing us right now. We thank you, Lord, that you are covenant keeper, oh, God. When we haven't even kept our covenant side of it, Lord, you still keeping your side of the thing. So, Lord, we glorify and we magnify your name. Lord, those that are in the homes, in the house by themselves, oh, God, dealing with things by themselves. Lord, we know that you're there in the midst, God. So, Lord, we thank you for being there with them, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Let them know that you would never leave them or forsake them, oh, God, but you are there walking beside them, and sometimes you're carrying them, oh, God. So, Lord, we thank you for that, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Let your word be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway, God. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, hallelujah. Bless the word on today, Lord. Let it fall on good ground, that they that hear it, Lord Jesus, will be blessed by it, oh, God. And, Lord, they will run with it. And some may need to say, what must I do to be saved? Let them hear the word, Lord, and let it save, oh, God. Lord, we thank you for salvations today. Thank you for all of those that accepted the Lord today as their Savior. Lord, we thank you. Lord, we ask you to bless every pastor, every apostle, every prophet, every teacher, every evangelist, oh, Lord, that brought forth the word today. Lord, restore unto them that which you allowed them to pour out, God, in the name of Jesus. Cover our pastors with your blood, Father. Lord, we ask you, Lord Jesus, to bless each and every one of them. Lord, we ask you to cover them, Lord, and keep them as only you can. So, Lord, I bless everyone under the sound of my voice. You know what they stand in need of individually. Meet the need, God. Meet the need and the request. You know what request they have up before you, Lord. And all I know is your word says if we ask you anything, hallelujah, and believe we will receive it, we shall have what we say. So, Lord, I'm claiming victory over people that have prayers of their prayers are being answered, and they have the victory, Lord. In the name of Jesus, we pray, amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Thank you for all of those that have joined me. Thank you. I praise the Lord, Mother Gwen. Glory to God. Michelle, baby. God, praise the Lord, Michelle. God bless you. And all of these that just Sean Bennett and Stephen Floyd, all of those that are joining us here on Facebook Live, I praise the Lord for each and every Todrick Johnson. We thank God for each and every one of you, Lord, that has stopped by. And so we glory, we thank God for the glory. So we're talking about, we're wrapping up commitment. And so we're going to be coming from the perspective of how God has been totally committed to us, and even how God is committed to us through love, and how he loves us, and how he loved us enough through Jesus Christ to let his only son die on our behalf. And then we're going to talk about it from the marriage relationship and us being the bride of Christ, and how that God is committed to us, and he has made a covenant with us, and how we need to recommit ourselves or commit ourselves back to him so that we can make sure we are in that bride of Christ. And when he comes back for his bride, we are ready to go back with him when he comes. And so I was just looking. I was going to kind of recap some of the things that we've talked about, but that may take me a little while, so I don't know. Let me see how I'm going to go. But anyway, the Lord, I was thinking about God, how faithful God is in his covenant and his relationship. In the Old Testament, he first began to make his covenant with Abraham, and he made it in Genesis 15 and in Genesis 17, and he confirmed through his son Isaac in Genesis 26 and 3. He said, and reconfirmed it through Isaac's son Jacob, and renamed, who was renamed Israel, and his descendants. And so God was always making his commitment and making known what he was doing for us and how he was committed to us. He kept telling us, even if you mess it up, I'm willing to take you back. I'm willing to bring you back into my focus. I love you that much. Isn't it something to be loved like that? And when I thought about the Song of Solomon, here I go, I'm trying to talk. Let me calm down, because you know I go real fast, and they done told me about that fast talker, so let me calm myself down. But anyway, I'm getting excited. But anyway, when I thought about that, I thought about the Song of Solomon. And, of course, the Song of Solomon is dropped right there in the middle of the Old Testament in the poetic books, amongst the poetic books. And so when God began to talk to them about, in the Song of Solomon, of course, a lot of scholars think, well, why did that book get put in the Bible anyway? Because it talks more about a love relationship. Praise the Lord, Philip Berg, that's one of my good friends from back from my classmates. I'm so thankful for you joining, Mark Wheeler. Thank you, Lord. Wayne Moore, we thank you. And so anyway, but we think about the Song of Solomon, how it's put in the Old Testament scripture. And so it talks about a love relationship between a man and a woman. It talks about what it takes for a marriage to take place and for a marriage to stay together. It talks about commitment. It talks both parties have to be committed in order for that for the marriage to stay together. And even if we think about Ecclesiastes, I think it's Ecclesiastes, Ecclesiastes, it talks about that a threefold cord is not easily broken. And so it talks about that. And so that to me has been kind of put in the place where, you know, if you got the husband and the wife, and then you got Christ in the middle, that if things cannot be easily broken, that marriage cannot be easily torn apart because God is in the midst of it. And so we want to make sure that we understand that how God is so committed to us, and that how he is, when he comes back, when Christ comes back, he is coming back for a church. He is coming back for, a church without spot or wrinkle. He's coming back for the bride of Christ. So God began to tell this story as it went through the Old Testament, and he began to tell this story. And I get tickled when I was thinking about Hosea, the book of Hosea, and how I said Hosea is the reality TV of the Bible, because it talks about a relationship between a man and his prostitute wife. And so God asked Hosea, to marry Gomer. And so because it depicted how God's relationship with Israel was, and how God's relationship with his people is. And so what he was saying was is that they kept going back and forth, even though Hosea loved Gomer, and even though God loves us, but sometimes we go back and forth. Sometimes we living right, sometimes we're not doing right. Sometimes we committed to God, sometimes we not committed to God. They kept flip-flopping back and forth. And if we go back to the Old Testament, when Moses began to talk to the new generation who was getting ready to cross over into the promised land, you know, Moses in Deuteronomy, he reiterated all of that to them. So, because he told them that they would have to stay committed to God if they were going to win in the promised land. If they were going to get what God had promised them, they were going to have to stay committed to God. And at that time, they all recommitted, and they said, we're committed to God. And, of course, they stayed committed to God as long as Joshua and Caleb and all the elders were alive. But as soon as they began to die out, they began to go back to whoring after other gods. They began to do things that wasn't right in the sight of God. And sometimes we are drawn away or distracted by what the world view is or what's going on in the world. Just like right now, we got so much stuff going on with the politics. One is saying this, one is saying another. And so those are distractions to try to keep us all worked up about things. And I'm telling you, if you really want, you got to know what God is saying about the situation. God is in control. God is in control. And so God is not unrighteous to forget, like our labor of love that we have done. God is not unrighteous to forget all that we have done to try to bring in souls and try to bring people to Christ and to get the gospel message out. He is not unrighteous for those things. So we got to know that God is in our corner, just like he was with the Hebrew boys when they were in the fiery furnace, when Nebuchadnezzar put them in there. God was right there in the midst of the fiery furnace. Did not a hair get singed on their head? Didn't nothing, their clothes wasn't even burned. They wasn't even smelling like smoke. That's how much God is committed to us. And so he committed to us enough to say, you know what, I know they flip-flop back and forth. One day they committed, one day they not committed. One day they done brought down the high places, the next time they had. Sometimes, you know, it just was back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. But God, and so even when they were brought into captivity, into Babylonian captivity, after they had sinned and Judah was brought into Babylonian captivity, God still made a promise to them. He still made a covenant that he would bring a remnant out of captivity. And they were to take that remnant was to go back and rebuild the temple and rebuild the altar. And so it started with Zerubbabel, and Zerubbabel came out first, but then he got distracted by the enemy that was all around him, and then he halted, the building of the temple got halted for 80 years. It was 80 years, and then here come Ezra. Ezra brought out another wave of the remnant. And so when Ezra brought out that wave, when Ezra got there, he was like, what in the world done happened? They done went back. They was intermarried with the people of the land, and they were serving idols and doing all those kind of things. And so he had to really talk to the people and pray with the people to get the people back on the right path, to which would bring them back in a committed state with God. God is so committed to us, and I get these notes sometimes. Give me some. I'm just gonna keep on going. Anyway, God is so committed to us that he said in John 3:16, he said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believed in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And so then God began this relationship with us with Jesus, and so Jesus went to the cross. He was our sacrifice. He died for our sins. And the wonderful thing about God is he had already promised our deliverance back in Genesis when Adam and Eve messed it up. And he told the serpent, he said, he's going to bruise your head, and you might bruise his heel, but he's going to bruise your head. So he committed. He already put a plan in place for our salvation, for us to be able to have access to him and a right to the tree of life because of Jesus Christ, not because of who we are, because we're not that great, but Jesus is the one that's the great I am. He is the one that is the one that has made this relationship and made this sacrifice. So Jesus, being the second Adam, he died for his bride, while Adam died with his bride. So that made a difference. Jesus died for us. He became the sacrificial lamb for us. And if we look through all through the Bible is always pointing to Christ, just like in the Song of Solomon. It was really pointing to a marriage covenant relationship that we will have with Christ when he comes back for the church. The church is his bride. We are betrothed to him. God has betrothed us to Christ because Christ will be our husband, man. And the Bible says that even in a marriage relationship between a man and a woman, a man is to love his wife like Christ loved the church. And so it is the pattern that has been set in place for a bride to be, just like when if we think about when Joseph was Mary was espoused to Joseph, and then when Joseph found out that she was with child and how he was getting ready to put her away privately, he loved her enough not to make a public spectacle out of her, but he was going to put her away privately. And so with that being said, you know, but then God told him, he said, no, this thing was birthed by the Holy Spirit. This Jesus she's pregnant by the Holy Spirit. And so there was a reason for it, and because of that, he stayed in the marriage. And so look at even that. That's a type of Christ. Because if we think about all the messing up we do and how Jesus is still committed to this bride, he's still committed to us, to marry us. He's still committed to deliver us. He's still committed to those things. God committed to us. God is so committed to us. And that's why I was talking about when I was talking about Hosea and Gomer. I call it the reality TV of the Bible, because if we think about reality TV and how ratchet it is, this situation looks ratchet, but it really wasn't ratchet. It was God showing us how we've been flip-flopping back and forth, but he is still committed to us in marriage. He wasn't going to divorce us. He wasn't getting ready to divorce us. He stayed with us no matter how many times we messed it up. God just kept on staying with us. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that a wonderful God? When we think about that right there, if we think about some of the times we done messed it up, but God is so committed to us that even though we might be, you know, we might be in a flip-flop right now, we might be in a situation where, Lord, where am I? Where are you? But God is not unrighteous, that he's not forgotten about us. He is still committed to us through all that. And he said, you know what? Well, I know they can't keep it committed, so I'm going to send Jesus to do what they cannot do. So Jesus died for our sins. And the thing about it is, if we really calculate the thing, we wasn't here. I wasn't here. You wasn't here. But I always believe we was back up in there somewhere, you know, because when God created the heavens and the earth, we was just created. You know what I'm saying? I believe we was back up in there. And so that's just what I believe. And I think that God, I'm sorry, I got distracted trying to get the broadcast.
Yeah.
But anyway, that God also, you know, we were back over in there. So even though we hadn't come down the birth canal yet to be born into this certain time, God, Jesus had already died for our sins. He had already died for the sins that we would commit, sins we're going to commit, and all of these things. And so that is the wonderful thing about God. He is so amazing. He is so amazing. We got so much to worship him for. Even if we think about the tabernacle and the pattern of the tabernacle and how it is made up us to worship for worship. And, you know, they have the inner court, the outer court, and then the holies of holies. But when Jesus Christ came and died on that cross, the veil of the temple was rent, and we no longer have to send the priest in on our behalf. But he gave us access that we will be able to go to God and begin to pray to God for ourselves. We can come boldly. Great. Now, when I say boldly, I don't mean getting in there, get arrogant. Bold and arrogant is two different things. But when we come to God, we still got to come in a humble way. We can't just come to God in a situation in a way that. So we got to come to God in that way that it is not so that we are arrogant, but we coming to him humble, but yet bold enough to come and ask God what it is that we have and what it is that we need. And so those are the things that we have to remember. But God loved us enough that he sent Jesus Christ. He is fully committed to us. He was committed to us from the beginning, and he is still committed to us. And so it behooves us to self-examine, because this is a self-examination. This ain't a corporate thing. This is self-examination. Am I really committed, really fully committed to God? And the one scripture that falls in mind with me, it's Romans 12 and 1. And let me see. I got it right here. Let me read that. Romans 12. Here I am. And so anyway, because I talked about John 3:16, where it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." And with Christ's life, death on the cross, and resurrection, Jesus became the living embodiment of the bridegroom and a faithful husband who was willing to give up his life for the one he loved. Now, that's what Jesus did. He didn't die with us. He died for us. He gave his life for the one he loved. He loves us enough that he gave his life, and he endured a lot of excruciating pain and things on the cross in that journey to that. And so we got to understand what he suffered for us. He suffered, he bled, and he died for us. And then if I think of, and so what he is asking us to do, Romans gives us such a depiction of it, because Romans really talks about, and I have it here in my notes, it says that Romans talks about, it talks about Christ, the life that Christ has created for us because of his death. And it talks about us being recommitted back to him in our life without Christ and our life with Christ. That's what the book of Romans, so I'm kind of trying to go in Old Testament, New Testament. I was coming from the Old Testament to bring us up to the New Testament to show us how it all kind of comes entwined and how it all lines up. And so, but anyway, and so we are to worship. Worship is essential in our relationship with God. If you got to become a worshiper. If you don't know how to worship God, you got to become a worshiper, because worship is essential in our relationship with God. It's just like when you think about when Jesus, before he died, and how Mary washed his feet with her hair. You know, that was a loving kind of gesture that she made to Christ, but it was preparing him for what he was getting ready to do. He was preparing him. The oil was preparing his body for the sacrifice that he was getting ready to make. But it showed a loving relationship of a woman to a man. And so we got to think about that on those particular terms, how God did it. But the Romans 12:1 tells us, it tells us, I beseech ye therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. So when we think about that, we are doing this for our reasonable service. We are recommitting ourselves back to God. It says, "Be not transformed by the world." But let me read it. Oh, I don't know why, cause I got that in my mind. But anyway, I know the scripture. But anyway, where is it, Lord? Okay, I know it seems like I don't have this stuff. I get all this stuff written out, and then, you know, but me and notes is not my best way to go. But anyway, here we go. It is, oh, here it is, beloved. And this is, I'm reading this out of the out of a different translation, and I think it's the Amplified Classic translation. It says, beloved friends, what should be our proper response to God's marvelous mercy? I encourage you to surrender yourself to God, to be his sacred living sacrifices, and live in holiness, experiencing all that delights his heart, for this becomes your genuine expression of worship. You see what I'm saying? Stop imitating the ideals and opinions of the culture around you, but be inwardly transformed by the Holy Spirit through a total reformation of how you think. This will empower you to discern God's will as you live a beautiful, satisfying, and perfect in his eyes. And so that's the Amplified Classic Version. But anyway, that's the Living Translation. I'm sorry, y'all. And so the Message Bible, that's the Message Bible, that's what I did that one in. But God wants us to give ourselves as a living sacrifice. We are really living epistles. When we walk our Christian walk and people see us, we are living epistles. And so God wants us to live that way so that he can be glorified in us and through us. That is what he wants us to do. And so we have to make sure that we have that committed relationship with him in order for us to live that way, in order for us to live that life of holiness. And I know you're saying, well, Denise, this seems hard to do. It seems hard to do. No, Christ made it simple. Christ made it simple. All we got to do is commit to it. Christ made it simple. He did the work. All we got to do is commit to it. And so once we commit to it, we can begin to live that life. And I know it seems easier said than done, but it's really easy to live for Christ. We used to have a good time when we were coming up in the church. We had a good time coming up in the church. We loved church. We loved going to church, and we loved being in fellowship with God. We loved the praise. We loved the worship. We loved that. That's what kept us going as young people. Because we were in those type of environments, we were in those type of services, and those were the things that kept us going as young people. If it was just dead and stuff like that, we wouldn't have been interested. We'd have been drawn to the world as well. But because of the type of services and then the way that they trained us and the way that they used us and they got us ready for things, those were the things that kept us interested. And that's what I'm saying, you got to get into a Bible-believing teaching church, one that believes and keeping it interesting. And, you know, and so many times we say, well, we got to change the format of things because we're trying to draw in the young people. You know, they didn't change nothing for us. They really did. They will tell you in a minute. You know, they had them heaven and hell speeches back then. It was either fire and brim, it was fire and brimstone. Either you was going to heaven or you was going to hell, but you wasn't in between. And so that's how they used to do it. And I'm not saying that might be the right way to do. I'm not saying that that's the wrong way to do. But what I'm saying is what we got to know is that we got to live right. And that is what I'm saying. We got to live for you. Praise the Lord, Bishop Boyd. We got to live for Christ. Praise the Lord, Denise, Elder Montgomery. Praise the Lord, all those that join. Praise the Lord, Eddie, Minister Eddie, Kendrick. Praise the Lord, Helen Finley. Praise the Lord, saints. But anyway, we have got to make sure that we are living. Because we want to be that bride that is ready for Christ when he comes. I remember when Jesus, the disciples had asked Jesus, they said, Jesus, why don't we fast? He said, why should you fast when the bridegroom is in the chamber? But so they didn't have to fast like John's disciples did because the bridegroom was with him. But the bridegroom is not, he's with us through the Holy Spirit right now. But when he comes back, he's coming back for us. He's coming back for the bride of Christ. And the bride of Christ encompasses everybody that believes in Christ. If you believe in Jesus Christ and you've given your life to him, then you are part of the bride of Christ. That's what you are. So he loves us. He loved us enough that he would die for our sins, and he wants us to be those living sacrifices that he is talking about in Romans 12 and 1. And so then when we begin to go on through the Bible, where's my time? Because I want to make sure I got time. Anybody else got anything they want to say while I'm just talking? Okay, well, I'm going on. So anyway, when we begin to talk about God's faithfulness and his covenant relationship, we talked about that. We started out talking about it from Genesis perspective. But let me read a couple of scriptures so we can continue to see how God was faithful to his covenant relationship with us, and that how we got to get ourselves in a place of a committed relationship. Whatever that means to you, only you know that as an individual. I can't tell you that. We have to self-examine ourselves. Self-examine ourselves so that we can make sure. In Joel 2 and 13, the Bible says, let me go right here first. It was talking about Hosea. I talked about Hosea and Gomer, but then it says, and rend your heart and not your garments, and turn unto the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness. He repenteth him of the evil. So God is always in a place where he is always wanting to receive us back to him. He's ready to receive you back to him. He's ready for us to come back to him. Maybe we got off a little bit. Maybe even during this pandemic, we may have got off a little bit. Even though this was a time we should have been drawing closer, we may have got off a little bit from just because of the isolation and all the things, so it can have you going a little wacky sometimes. But I'm telling you, if you stay focused on God, God is going to stay focused on you, and you're going to come out of this thing a winner. This is a time where you should be trying to hear from God and listen to God and see what God is wanting you to do and the projects that he may be wanting you to work on. I've been working on projects over here. I got projects galore. I tell you, I'm just working on. But I'm so thankful for the Lord. And then even in Hosea 14 and 4, he says, I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely, for mine anger is turned away from him. So even for those that are the backsliders, God's anger is turned away from you, and he is ready to receive you back freely. This is how much he loves us. This is how much he cares for us. He don't want us to be lost. He said it is his will that all men should come to repentance. He doesn't want us to be lost. He wants us to be in that relationship with him. Zechariah 1 and 3 says, therefore say thou unto them, thus saith the Lord of hosts, turn ye unto me, saith the Lord of hosts, and I will turn unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. If you turn to him, he's going to turn to you. He's already waiting on you to turn to him. That's all God is looking for us, is for us to recommit ourselves back to him. Whatever that takes for you as a person, only you know that. If it's for you to dive deeper in prayer with him, if it's for you to learn how to worship him more, whatever that is, whatever it is that you need to bring yourself to that next level in him, that's what you need to do. Praise the Lord, Elder Ski. Praise the Lord, Elder Pitts. We praise the Lord for each and every one of you joining us. And so we just need for you to understand that God wants us to take it to the next level. This is a perfect time where we're not really so busy about doing the distractions that we've been doing over the course of life, the distractions that have kind of drawn us away, those idle things that we have made idols that have kind of drawn us away. And we all got them. No, don't sit there like you don't have them. We all got them. Whatever it is, we got to get it back right on the track with God. We can't let it be our homes. We can't let it be our jobs. Now some people don't even have the job that they once dedicated all their time to. They didn't have time for their families. They didn't have time for this because they was on that job trying to make that money, and then that's gone away. So we got to make sure that in the process of time, when even when things begin to rev back up and everything begins to open back up, that we don't go back to doing what we used to do, that we'll stay, our purpose will stay. Praise the Lord, Candy Hopkins. Praise the Lord. Glory to God, but that you will make sure that you stay focused on God, that you won't be like the children of Israel were and go back to stuff because the elders of the elders had died, and so they went back to being uncommitted when they had promised to be committed. And so we got to make sure that we're not doing that. And then if we look at Jeremiah 24:7, it says, I will give them an heart to know me. Now, this is God talking. He said, I'm going to give you a heart to know me. I mean, he's got it set up. All we got to do is agree. That's what we got to come into agreement and alignment with what God is saying. And it says that I am the Lord, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God, for they shall return unto me with their whole heart. Have you returned unto God with your whole heart? During this time of isolation, during this time of not being so busy, have you given more time to prayer? Have you given more time to Bible study? Have you given more time to worship? Have you given more time to praise? Have you worried less and praised God more? Have you prayed more and have you hoped for more instead of being disappointed and frustrated because you can't get out and do what you want to do? You know what I'm saying? This is a time to draw nigh unto God, and he will draw nigh unto you. And so, and it's also a time to self-evaluate. They used to sing a song. We used to sing a song when I sung the Steve Coleman Concert Choir. Search me, Lord. We used to sing it. Search me, Lord. And so we sung that song, and what we were saying was, Lord, search us. And if you find anything that shouldn't be, take it out, Lord, and strengthen us, is what we used to say back in the old church. And so we begin to do those things. We got to make sure that when we come out on the other side of this thing, that we are fully committed to God. We are not going back no more. We're not going to let the distractions of the world draw us unto there. We don't care. Social media is a big distraction, but we still, I mean, we're here. We got to use the what God has provided for us to get the word out and those kind of things. But we got to make sure that we don't allow it to distract us so much that we get up in the morning, we start going down and scrolling and liking and doing all that before we've even had time with God. God should be our first priority. He should be the first one on our list and on our mouths in the morning. Lord, I thank you. When I get up, get out of that bed in the morning, I begin to thank the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for waking me up this morning. Thank you, Lord, for keeping me safe through the night. Thank you, Lord, for not letting any hurt, harm, and danger come to me. Lord, I thank you for the activity and use of my limbs. Lord, I thank you for all my senses working. I thank him for all of those things. I thank him that this is the day the Lord has made, and I shall rejoice and be glad in it. I begin to thank God for all of those types of things, for my feet touch the floor. I begin to do that because I'm so thankful that he kept me. I'm so thankful that I woke up. I'm so thankful that he's got something else for me to do. That's why I'm still here. And so I'm just so thankful for that. And so I'm making sure that the projects even that I have, that they have kingdom purpose, that it's not about me, it's about God. Whatever I do, I want it to be about God because we got to advance the kingdom of God. We got to get the word out. Salvation is the way to go. If you're not saved, then you need to be saved. I tell that every day, you need to give your life on over to the Lord. You know, it's so much better with God. I ain't killing them. I ain't browbeating them. I ain't giving them fire and brimstone. But I'm telling them what thus saith the Lord so that they can make a clear decision that God is the way I should go. God is who I should follow. God has opened doors. Welcome him in. Welcome him into your house so that you can worship and praise him, and he'll be in there. You can be in his presence. No better place to be than in the presence of God. In the presence of God is where healing takes place. In the presence of God is where miracles can happen. Come on here. If you want those things to happen, then you need to usher in the presence of God. You need to make sure that your commitment is with God. You need to make sure that you love him like he loves you because he loves us so much. That he, in all these particular scriptures, in these passages of scripture, God is talking about that I love you enough that I will do the work to bring you back to me. He sent Christ to redeem our souls back to you. He said, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. So you can say that I am redeemed because of Jesus Christ. He loved us enough. You're the bride of Christ. Get ready for it. Get ready for your husband that's coming back. And when he comes back, he's coming back for us. He is coming back for us, so we got to be ready for that. Present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. That's just our reasonable service. Reasonable, it said. Our reasonable service. And so we got to remember that. Does anybody on the line have anything they want to say? Okay, then we're going to keep on going. So anyway, I just want you to be encouraged today that the Lord, and I think I'm really finished with commitment. Actually, I don't think I'm going to come back with it next week. We're going to start on submission. And you know, that's really not anybody's favorite word sometimes, not even the women, not even the men. Because the men are supposed to submit to God. The women are supposed to submit to their husband. But, you know, sometimes that can be difficult. But anyway, we're going to talk about it. And then we're going to talk about consistency. And then we're going to our next series, which will be Heart Matters. That's what I had this written down, but I lost my note, and so then I thought that commitment was my last topic in the series, but it's not. It's submission and then consistency. And, of course, because I moved patience to the wait on God series, and so I moved that over there. I asked God, could I do that, and he said, yeah. And so I moved it over there, so we're not going to talk about patience in this series, but we will talk about it in another series. But we are almost through the building a better relationship with God series. And I think next week I'll try to touch on the whole series, because some people are coming in to all this late. So we've covered several topics in this series, and we have done that. So I'm actually going through the process of cleaning up the tapes and the audio so that they can be downloaded, and if somebody wants to listen to them, they can do that and you know, and be able to go through the whole series. So we're working on that. Somebody's working on that stuff for me. And like I said, I should have been in the studio this week, but we got this. I got all my stuff ready for the studio so it can be a cleaner sound and a cleaner recording. So we got that going on. So I'll see how all that's going to work. So this is going to be a lesson for me. But one of the things that I have been instructed to do, or I've been told or encouraged to do, is to try to talk slower. So I'm a fast talker anyway. That's just me. I talk really fast, and so when I get excited, I think the more excited I get, the faster I go. So I am endeavoring to make those changes so that I won't take people too fast, and, you know, and you're trying to digest all that's in my head, because that could be a whole bunch. But anyway, God is so amazing, and I know we got some good scholars out there and people that are scholars of the Word like myself. I love the Word of God, and I am my recommitment is to dive deeper into the Word of God and really study it on a deeper level. And so those are the things I want to do, and so that I can be ready for God when He comes, and that I can teach the Word effectively and efficiently. And so those are some of the things that I'm doing for myself. You know, I thank God for starting to. I feel comfortable in my gift. You know, sometimes all of us want to be the evangelist, or sometimes we all want to be this or this or this. But you know what? I thank God for the gift of teaching, and so I'm so thankful for that. And I'm going to keep on doing what the Lord has told me to do and be excited about it. And because, you know, anybody, you know, you can sing. You can always take up a tune. You know that, don't you? And so that ain't nothing, you know, you can get a tune going. But anyway, I'm so thankful for this, and I'm thankful for the intercessor that I am. I thank God for prayer, because I love prayer and I love interceding and I love praying for people. And I'm so glad that during this pandemic, I feel like that's being reignited in me. And so I'm thankful for that, and I'm so thankful for that. We had an amazing prayer service on the fourth Sunday in August, and the men were in the room, and I'm telling you, those young men prayed, and so I'm in the process of getting that video cleaned up, because, you know, with me and that technology. And even though we had practiced and we had got it set up, I was still, a little thrown off by it. But anyway, we're working on that, so I'm getting that taken care of. So I'm working on so many things. I know it's that technology, I'm telling you, and trying to get it. You know, these young people can click, 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 and they got it done. But we gotta practice. Philip, he called me two days. We went and we practiced it, and we got it set up and right. So it should have went smoother. A little bit more smoothly, but it didn't. But anyway, so he's going to clean that up, because, you know, these young people, they got gifts and talents, and so they know how to get things done. Now, next month, the women are back in the room. And so I got, and Mother Gwen, I'm going to call you, because I'm going to ask you to be one of my prayer warriors that day, and Sister Eddie Jean as well. I'm throwing y'all's names out there. And so, and then, of course, Pastor Rebecca Allen Merriweather is going to be on the prayer as well. And so I'm so thankful for that. I'm so thankful for my friends. You know what? I might not be in Indiana, but not my Indiana family. I'm just still so close to them, and I'm so thankful that the Lord did not allow me to lose contact or, you know, get over here and act. I'm so thankful for that because that is my family. And I tell you, I got up before the Lord of what I should do, whether I'm still going to be still here in Texas or whether I'm on my way back home. So we're making a family decision, actually. And so I'm going to let the Lord play that out. And so I'm open to it. So we're all good with that. And so I'm so thankful for all of that. But anyway, the Lord is going to work it out, and whatever he say, that's what I'm going to do because I believe in being obedient. I'm telling you, I believe in being obedient. And so obedience, as I hear my one of my fellow ministers in the gospel say, Elder Tiffany Harrison, she says obedience unlocks the blessing. And she always says that. So, and I have a testimony about that. I'm going to have to tell her about it. But anyway, obedience unlocks the blessing. And so we're so thankful that we had the opportunity to talk about commitment from a love relationship and how the Lord has set it up. You know, he set it up to look like a marriage relationship between a man and a woman, but it's really a marriage relationship between the church and our God. And so how he's committed and he has covenant with us. And so since he's committed to us and he has covenant with us, we ought to be committed to him as well. So I'm so thankful for everybody that decided to join me and was on the line, and those of you that have been commenting and all of those that have joined. I'm so thankful for you, that those that joined me here on Facebook Live. God bless each and every one of you. And I'm so thankful for those that logged in, those that called in, and those that will even listen to this broadcast later. So I'm going to try to improve myself. Praise the Lord. Sister Anderson, I love you so much. I really, really do. She is one of my good friends. She's her mother, and she has kept up with us. And I'm so thankful for you keeping up with us and still being a part of your life. I love you, and I'm so thankful. And of course, I miss my friend, but anyway, she went on to be with the Lord some years ago. But we are so thankful for her mother and her family, and so well, we do miss her because she would be over here cutting up if she was around. So we know her, Sister Rita. I miss her. But anyway, God is so good, and he is forever good, gracious to us. And so if there's anybody out there that does not know the Lord and the pardon of your sins, this is an opportunity. Maybe you didn't, when they made the clarion call this morning, and the various churches or the various online ministries that were there, you decided you didn't, you were going to, but you didn't. Here's another opportunity for you to make that call. And all you have to do is you say in your heart, say, Lord, I am a sinner. And I believe, God, that Christ died for my sins and that you raised him from the dead. Lord, come into my heart and deliver and save me. And, Lord, I turn my life around so that I can begin to live a life with Christ. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. I believe if you prayed that prayer with me or some version of it and gave your life to the Lord today, that I believe that you are saved. And believe me, the angels in heaven are rejoicing. Welcome to the family. Welcome to the family. Find you a good Bible-believing teaching church. Now, they're online now. You don't even have to get out there. You don't even have to go anywhere. Find you somebody here on the Internet and begin to be a part of that ministry. You can join the church. They're taking e-members. They're taking e-members, and you can join that church. And you can be a part of that church. Now, my church got e-church. And you know, I love my church over at Potter's House with my pastor, Bishop T.D. Jakes. And then, but there's so many other good ministries online. They are online. We got good ministries in Indianapolis. We got good ministries in Chicago. We got good ministries all over this country. And so you have your pick of the litter. You can go, and you don't even have, you could be in South Dakota if you want to be, and go to church over in New York if you want to right now. That's how that goes. You can be an e-member. And so they are taking e-memberships in the churches, and so you can join. You don't have to be in the building to join. You can join and be a part, and they will make sure that you are well taken care of with the Word of God and anything else that you need. They'll give you the information that you need to be a part of the ministry all over the world. You got opportunity. This is such a great opportunity. I know people think, well, we're not in the building, but it's such a great opportunity. So many pastors have talked about how their membership has grown and everything during the pandemic, how they got people all over the world now. All over the world they have membership. And so they are there to take care of you. They're going to make sure that the e-church is taken care of just like that the church would be in the brick and mortar. So, you know, you have opportunity. Make sure you find somebody. There's Bible classes on Tuesday. I know people doing Bible class on Tuesday. I know Pastor Farr in Indianapolis does Bible class on Tuesday. I think Pastor Hannah, Pastor Glenn does Bible class on Tuesday. Bishop Jakes is on Wednesday. And countless other pastors are on Wednesday. They have their Wednesday night Bible class. And then some people are even having Thursday night Bible class. So there's plenty of opportunities for you to get the Word of God. And so I just want you to be blessed. And I want you to get to God. This is an amazing opportunity for you just to be right there in your home. You don't have to be judged by anybody. You don't have to have nobody looking at you strange, but you can fall out in the floor if you want to. You can run through the house and scream. You can dance through the rooms if you want to. Whatever you want to do, this is what you can do. Now, I mean, I done done it. I done went dancing in all these rooms. I done get to praising and shouting. I'm shouting just like I was if I was in the church. I go to dancing through all the rooms. I said, let me go on and give him the glory in all these rooms because we need a miracle over here. So anyway, we thank God for each and every one of you. And So I'm going to pray. Elder Timberlake, are you on the phone?
Yes, ma'am.
Would you pray us out, please?
Father God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for what our ears have heard. We thank you, Lord, that for Elder Bryson and her ministry. God, we ask you to carry us on this week and help us to be more committed to you. And we thank you for this series, oh God, as it's opening our eyes of understanding and making us do self-evaluations and self-inspection, that we become closer to you. God, keep us until we are able to meet again. And we give you honor, we give you praise. For this is a day that you have made, and we are still rejoicing, and we are so glad to be in it. In Jesus' name I pray, bless your people today. Protect us, shield us, and meet every need. To God be the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
So thank God for each and every one of you that has joined us today. And we thank God. And I think I'm finished with commitment. But if he tell me to finish it up next week, then I will. But anyway, we're going to move on to submission after that. And I'm not sure who's going to teach it. I'm going to get on this phone after I get off of here and ask someone who wants to be a volunteer. But anyway, who wants to teach submission? But anyway, we thank God for everybody. God bless you all. And we will see you back here next week on the Prophet and Souls broadcast. And then on the fourth Sunday, the women will be in the room, and we're going to be praying. And so we're going to be praying for various things, and so we will be there. And then back to the men in October, and then the women in November. Then we're going to all come together in December. That's how that is. That's how the Lord gave it, so we're going to do it. Anyway, God bless you.
Bye-bye.
Hello?
Oh, it looks like you're still on here. I was like, please don't blow your nose.
Ooh, Jesus, let me get off of here.
I got you on here. Look like it. Maybe I haven't come out yet. Wait a minute.
No, I might have still been on there because that watch party was still going on, I think. Okay.
Yeah, because that's the end. Okay. Huh.
Oh, okay.
But the first part is, huh, okay, I guess you're off. But let me see. Yes, both of them is off. They were still going. I said, oh, no, there you go, grinning. I guess it's over. That's how it goes.
Thank you, Lord. Oh, my
you
God.
You look cute today.
Thank you. I tried to fix up. I said,